from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The big news today, Brandon Ayuk has officially, respectfully, that's the word, respectfully, requested a trade from San Francisco, as the two sides have yet to agree on a long-term contract extension. To talk about that, the Browns' own wide receiver situation as well. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on NFL columnist for Pro Football Network, Sirius XM NFL Radio, Fox Sports Radio, Sirius XM Fantasy, the great Adam Kaplan joins us now. Adam, welcome to the show.
Guys, good to you. Yeah, good to be with you. Yeah, look, it's NFL business time, receiver deals. We've had a lot of them, by the way, done this offseason, and that's the problem, that the Niners could not get this Ayuk deal done when they wanted it done in March. And once a bunch of them got done, the Justin Jefferson one, which made him the highest-paid receiver by far in NFL history. Jalen Waddles is, by the way, really good. That's the one that I think if it gets done, I think that's the one that he'll get. Waddle, one of the best number two receivers in the National Football League, $28.25 million. That's where that money's going. But look, this is what happens. You when guys don't get what they want, they wait, and then eventually, if they don't get what they want, they feel there's no hope, they ask for a trade.
So is this trade that the last shot across the bow from the 49ers from the Ayuk camp, like the get with it or let's get a moving? Or do you think that this actually, the actual end goal here is that Ayuk is no longer a 49er?
Well, okay, a couple things here. Let's go back to the draft. My understanding was, based on what I heard at the time, Washington and other teams were seriously considering something here with Ayuk. They looked into it. They wound up not doing it. Washington. Now, why would Washington be? We'll go to Washington, and there's some other teams, but let's go to Washington. Well, Washington's completely changed their offense under Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury, who, by the way, interviewed for the Eagles' OC job. The Eagles actually wanted to hire him, but they could not agree on the revised coaching staff, so the Washington hired him. And he runs a spread. He's air raid offense. You're going to see a lot of 3 and 4 receiver sets. Terry McLaurin, who they're paying about $22 million a year. Jahan Dotson, a former first-round pick. They don't know who their 3 and 4 would be as of now. They have guys who are compete for it, but you really need to add another significant piece, but adding Ayuk adds a lot of money to it. And teams typically, not always, the Eagles are one of the few teams to pay two receivers big money. And A.J. Brown, $32 million a year, and Devontae Smith, $25 million a year. Most teams don't do that. And that was sort of the hang-up. That was one of the hang-ups there. So nothing got done, but there are other teams that will step up to the plate. Once there becomes a point where, if there's a point of no return for the Niners where they go, they just can't have this guy on the football team, they want to keep him. They've tried, but I don't think they've tried hard enough. And by the way, the Niner rookies reported today. Now, the veterans don't report till next Tuesday. That's when this fine starts. If he doesn't show up when the veterans show up, that's when it becomes a problem. Now, understand from the Niners' standpoint, they've been in the Super Bowl twice with Kyle Shanahan. They think the world of Brandon Ayuk. I know from talking to their coaches, once Ayuk started doing what Kyle Shanahan wanted him to do a couple years ago, he got off the rough start with Kyle, but once he started taking to his coaching, he became a stud. And he's so gifted, dominates practice, comes in with the right attitude, just really, really terrific football player. But from the organizational standpoint, from football operations standpoint, as much as they love Ayuk, when you've got to get Deebo Samuel the ball, Juwan Jennings now, one of the highest-paid backup receivers in the National Football League, George Kittle, the highest-paid tight end in the National Football League, Christian McCaffrey, highest-paid running back in NFL history by far, he just got his deal redone. you can't justify paying him what A.J. Brown got. I think Ayuk's worth it, by the way, particularly if he got traded. But from their standpoint, as they understand it, it's all about cash justification. It's nothing to do with the salary cap, literally nothing. It's about cash. And you just can't go there right now with Ayuk. To me, again, the deal to look at if this gets done would be Jalen Waddle's, which I think would be very fair. Ayuk and Waddle, probably the two best number two receivers, and along with Devontae Smith in the National Football League.
When did the Niners reach like the point of no return with Ayuk to the point where there's no going back?
Well, here's the thing. They have all the leverage here. Okay, a couple things here. They've got two franchise tags. He's on his fifth-year option, just valued over $14 million, fully guaranteed. They drafted, and this surprised me. I didn't see this coming, and I don't think a lot of people did. They drafted a receiver, not a corner. They drafted the corner of the second round. The biggest need by far was a corner to start opposite Charvarius Ward, but they drafted that corner in the second round, which is Renardo Greenham, they're very high on. But Ricky Pearsall is a first-round pick, and I know Dustin knows this. When you draft a receiver or any position in the first round, that guy must be a starter over the course of his career. There's no doubt. There's no debate. The guy must be a starter. This is not a team that plays a lot of three-receiver sets, so if they keep Ayuk, and their inclination is to keep him because they want to get back to the Super Bowl, you got Ayuk, Samuel, you got Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, Jacob Cowan, by the way, is a fourth-round pick. No, I get it. He doesn't have to play right now. So they've got a numbers issue. So they can make it work. I mean, Ayuk's under contract, and he's got a bargain contract. But you say, what's the point of no return? There's no way he's coming back. If he comes back this year and they don't trade him, without a deal, there's no way he comes back for 2025. You can't make it work because then Pearsall's got to be a starter. If Pearsall doesn't start this year, he's got to start in year two.
Adam Kaplan on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So that brings us to the Browns wide receiver situation. We are roughly, 2 weeks away from training camp in the Greenbrier. Should we expect the Browns and Amari Cooper to have a deal on hand before it's time for Amari to report for training camp?
Yeah, so the veterans, by the way, report next Tuesday. The rookies the other day before. His contract's interesting. Let me break down Amari Cooper, and I don't know what your fans know, or I know his career probably better than most reporters. At the time, he was with the Cowboys, very close to the Cowboys at that point, and I could tell you they were done with him. Some situations where he's not competitive, they seem defeated sometimes, they couldn't reach him. And look, if the Browns didn't trade for him, they were going to cut him. So the Browns trade for him, and it's like he got a new lease on life. Maybe he had to leave Dallas. I know with the Raiders there were problems talking to people there, but man, he's been phenomenal here. He's been mostly pretty durable with the Browns, which was sometimes a problem with the Cowboys, but it's been a breath of fresh air. Just turned 30 in June. Now, they want to make something happen here. I've never put percentages on anything because I don't make the calls on these deals. I don't work for NFL teams unless, when I'm doing my own contracts, I can make the calls, but I can't make the calls for them. But I know that they want to get something done. Urgency usually picks up once we get to a certain point. Now, look, you've got the only deal, look, the Ayuk deal's out there. That's got to get done. But we have all of these deals, guys, done. They know what the numbers have to look like. I get it. Jalen Waddle is only 25 years old, so he's younger. But Cooper's been phenomenal. I mean, talking to people close to the Browns, he's been probably way better than they even imagined. And he's been a great Brown. On a team, by the way, he's got a real chance to make a playoff run this season.
All right, Adam, I know you're a Philly guy. I saw several tweets in your account. You're excited about Andre Drummond. You're excited about adding playoff Paul.
I'm a big Sixer guy, yeah, I am.
And so I say this because I've heard everyone tell me, and I've maybe made the points myself, I've had everyone tell me why the Sixers with Paul George and Embiid will not make them the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East this year. Make the opposite case for me.
You know what's an issue, though, guys? My one issue, and I'm a big Daryl Morey fan, and I'll defend him usually, but the only issue I have here is, I don't know if you realize this, they were one of the youngest teams in the NBA. They're now one of the oldest. That worries me. This is, I get it, it's not the NFL. Guys could play well to their 30s. But with Embiid's injury history, by the way, he just turned 30. Paul George has had a big injury history. He's 34 now. He was pretty healthy last season. They brought in Eric Gordon, I've been a big fan of. He's older, he's 36. They've got a lot of older players, so you worry about that. They'll be able to compete. Boston's clearly better. But here's why I'm going to give Maury credit, and I don't want to bore people with a salary cap. With the first and second apron rules, particularly what we're dealing with now, he did all he could with the salary cap restrictions. It's a lot easier to deal with voidable years, option bonuses like so many teams do, where you can manipulate the cap. You can't do that in the NBA, and that's why teams there. I always laugh when reporters or these bloggers put out, oh, this guy's a salary cap casualty. Folks, there's next to no salary cap casualties. It's a fallacy. It's because the teams didn't want to cut them. Let me give you an example. The Saints, they keep restructure. They won't cut anybody. They're going to be in cap hell at some point if you keep restructuring older guys' contracts. But it's the NBA where the cap restrictions are much harder.
All right, that brings us to the most important question I've asked you. Not really. It's just another question I've asked you. But do you fear the Cavs in a 7-game series against the Sixers?
Boy, I was kind of shocked when they fired their coach. It kind of surprised me. But with that owner, that owner's got to get the quick trigger. But they're going to be a competitive team. There's no question about it. They're a fun team to watch. That Knicks series was interesting, to say the least. The Knicks now trying to get every Villanova player, which is another story which is almost hard to understand. But they'll be fun. I would probably lean towards the Sixers because they've actually helped their bench. I like their starting five overall. That's the thing. Their starting five has improved. But the Cavs will be they're going to be a factor, though. They will be a factor.
It sounds like you're afraid of the Cavs in the 7-game series. That's all.
They're going to be good. I mean, the Cavs are going to be good. Here's the thing with the Sixers. You only need to start five players. Now, if you do this in the NFL, if you change if you have, like, let's say, eight new starters on offense, well, there's no way you're going to get it together one season. In the NBA, you could completely change your starting five and win a title. So Philly's changed so much. In fact, seven out of their eight players in the rotation were not there last year. Most of them were not there last year. So other than the two studs and obviously Embiid, who's amazing, and the guard who got his extension. So they're going to be a fun team. But I'm looking forward to my training camp tour, and I'm going to have a stop with the Browns. So I look forward to seeing the Browns this summer.
Adam, where do I subscribe to your NBA podcast?
I would love to do it. You know, it's funny, you don't know this, but in 2004, I actually covered both sports.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually covered the NBA, but I was like, there's no way I could pull off putting out scoops on two leagues. I need to have a marriage, so I was like, I couldn't do it. I stopped, but I'm a big NBA guy, not quite like I used to be, but the NFL takes up a lot of my time, so it's fine. I could actually have a real job. You know, I've never worked in an office, so I shouldn't complain.
Smart, smart man. Adam, we appreciate
Thanks,
you, buddy.
Adam. Great stuff, man.
Thank you. See you.
Adam Kaplan on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're talking about why Brandon Ayuk today, it was announced, he didn't announce it, but his agent telling everybody that would want to know and put it out there that he has officially requested a trade. There's a lot of details out here. There's a part of me that I think the most tedious thing teams do is the we're not going to pay you, but we're also not going to trade you thing. These dudes only have so long. If you're not interested in having them long term, if you're not interested in paying them long term, just do the honest thing. Like Cincinnati holding T. Higgins hostage. Like, long term security for these dudes is the lifeblood to life after football. You don't have to be chintzy. It's cool if you don't want to pay a guy. But if that guy gets in a spot where he wants to be paid and you don't want to, just do the honest thing. Like, that's just where I'm at. And that's where I'm at with Ayuk.
With Ayuk, they can't pay him what he wants. And, you know, they want to keep him there. They'd like to have him there. They've got options, as Adam said. I mean, they could. They've got two franchise tags. I mean, they've got. And he's under contract for this year, right?
Yeah.
For 14 some million dollars.
Yep.
So, I don't know, man. He's a great player, but I think it's going to be hard for him to be there long term with all those numbers that he just sort of laid out there for you.
Well, and if I'm Ayuk, now you've got a first round rookie that you know is going to take your. You're already sharing touches with Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and now this rookie. And the thing I really like about Shanahan's offense, and this is actually the word of caution to Brandon Ayuk, is the roles are wildly like etched in stone what the expectation from each prototypical receiver that he uses. And that's one of the things, like, when he would go, I remember coming to Cleveland, he's like, I need this profile, this exact fit for this, you know, the Y, this for the Z, this for the X, whatever. I don't even know his terminology. That's why I just threw out those letters. But it's not well-defined elsewhere. Like, that is, the downside is you are in a spot where they probably put you in, consistently in as good a spot as anybody. At the same point, like, I mean, I think Ayuk and Cooper have the same misfortune, that you look at them and they are great players. Like, make no bones about it. Amari Cooper's a great player. Brandon Ayuk is coming off almost, I want to say, a 1,500-yard season, something ridiculous like that. You don't get those numbers if you're just a product of the system.
Yeah, those are rookie numbers.
I've seen plenty of players go into a system or go into a good situation and have 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards is pretty, it's not meaningless, but it's not what it meant at 16 games. It's certainly not what it meant when there were 12 games. So I bring that up to say, like, you don't get 1,500 yards by accident. Not when you're sharing touches with Kittle and Debo, and McCaffrey is a big receiving threat as he is a running threat. I don't know he's a number one, and somebody will pay him like a number one. So if you're San Francisco, why go through the dance? If you don't want to pay him top dollar, you really going to use two franchise tags on him in a row?
The first tag, yes. The second tag, it goes up by like 20%.
It goes
to the whatever the top number that they have, and yeah, then they add 20% to it.
So I sometimes think it's absolutely what's happening with T. Higgins in Cincinnati. Teams are printing money right now, and the least you could do is when a player decides, and I'll be honest with you, I want Amari Cooper on the field for the Browns this year, but I feel this way about Amari. That's a 30-year-old receiver looking at maybe his last payday ever. Am I a little worried that this could sidetrack you? And do I think this could maybe limit the ceiling of your offense? Yes. At the same point, do right by the player. You paid just about everybody else. I mean, that's really like, I really loved how Adam said, and I think this is a, in the NFL, if they don't pay you, it's not because they can't. There is no team in the NFL outside, I don't know, Mark Davis might still be billionaire poor, but there's no team in the NFL that if you're part of their plans long term and they think you're a difference maker, there's no team that can't pay you. So if it's, I don't want to, do right by the player. And I mean, I tend to look at this like, I'd love for the Browns to get on this action. Yeah, well, you don't want to pay 30-year-old Amari. Would you rather pay 26-year-old Brandon Ayuk? I've thrown out.
Yes.
I've thrown out the Cooper and a third rounder for Ayuk a million times. Those kind of trades very rarely ever happen in the NFL. But like, are we so sure that Amari Cooper isn't going to ask for a trade too? Because if you look at it,
I mean, he definitely could.
Well, I think the reason why I'm asking is there's really no more wide receiver deals out there to get done. Mm-hmm. There's like one or two. 90% of the wide receiver deals are done, which means you know what the market is. And it's bleep or get off the pot. And this is my message to the Browns, you've gone all in on this season. You went all in last year. You couldn't have predicted Deshaun's injury. You can't predict injuries. That's why when everybody's like, he'll never be the same again. Okay, cool. We're talking about injuries more than we are anything else. But I digress. When it comes to this season, you're doling out a ridiculous amount of money for a roster that's gotten older. This is as good, not just 1 through 53. This is when they move on from guys, when they get a cut down at the end of the preseason, they're going to be cutting good football players, guys who will find roles. I've been able to say that like six times in my life as a Browns fan since they came back, and maybe six times is maybe it's four times, four times where they've had a roster so replete with talent, and it's all pretty much all been in the last, like, 4 years. Although there are a couple years, that changeover from Butch to Phil Savage or to Romeo, changing system, they let a lot of really good football players go, but I'm still mad about that. But
you digress?
I digress. Don't let this get to that point. It is laughable that the 49ers, who are enriched with winning, who are enriched with talent, that they would hold this guy hostage for a year or two. You don't want to pay Amari Cooper? That's cool. You want to maybe push this to a point where he either doesn't show up to training camp or he asks for a trade? I think that's a sign of it's not bad leadership. I think it'd be a sign of lazy leadership if we get to a point where Amari says, I want to trade because you're not going to pay me.
I just think it's going to be really hard. Not hard, but I mean, like, I think it's going to be something that the Browns don't want to see happen. Like, they don't want Amari Cooper to request a trade. They don't want to have that fallout. Amari Cooper, that's tough to say. Amari Cooper is and has been one of the great wide receivers the Browns have ever had. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe the math changes in a year. Maybe the math changes where Jerry Jeudy's ready to go. You've also spent a ungodly amount of draft picks. Even though you haven't done a top 40 pick on him, you've spent an ungodly amount of draft picks on wide receivers. If the Browns look at this and go, in a year's time, he's not going to be worth it. All right, man. Like, at some point, you just have to make a definitive decision.
Yeah.
Because players, and like Brandon Ayuk is playing the game. Brandon Ayuk's like, all right, we talked. We kept talking. You stopped talking. I'm out. Now he's, in fairness, he's got to follow through with maybe sitting out training camp. He's got to follow through on his part of this, which I don't know he will. But because I think the worst thing is when it feels like there's no end in sight. Like the T. Higgins thing. T. Higgins,
that's going to drag on for a while.
Yeah, but T. Higgins can sit there on a franchise tag. He knows they're not going to tag him twice because that's a cheap-ass organization. He can at least look at this and go, all right, don't get injured this year. If we make it through this next year, I'm going to make bank next year. That's not a great situation to be in a player. But like Brandon Ayuk, oh, you're going to make him play through the fifth-year option, right? Then you're going to tag him once. All the while, he could be traded. All the while, he really is basically a lame duck contract for two or three straight years. For what's the point? And again, I do understand he has value on the field. And his value might never be greater to the 49ers than it is right now. If the Pearsall kids plays well, if, you know, what all the things that can come into play that make him more obsolete there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too cynical for my blood, though. And I feel the same way about Amari. Has Amari earned an extension? Yes. Does Amari deserve to be paid like a top five receiver? No. And there's some wiggle room there for this conversation. But get this crap done. And I
do not want to go to training camp with this not solved.
I'm trying to trust Andrew Berry. That is really, at the end of the day, that is what I'm trying to do. But man, if we get to training camp and Amari does not report, if we get to that point and Amari calls their bluff and we're to the point where Amari starts missing significant time, maybe not the first couple days of camp, but dude, if we get anywhere near a preseason game and this situation hasn't been resolved, either with clarity for the player, which goes a long way, hey, we're not going to sign you, but next year we're not going to tag you. Just play through this year, make your money. We'll do this. Even something like that. Like, if there just like isn't clarity.
Like, knowing there's going to be a breakup at some point. But,
yes.
But, like...
But being honest and upfront about it.
Yeah. It's like those people that can end a relationship, yet still, like, kind of live together until the lease is up.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Yeah. Never did it.
Don't want to do it.
Yeah. But probably because I also... We're talking about communication. I also was not great at communicating.
Really?
I'm better now. Yeah.
More better?
I'm the best.
Okay.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Let's go with Alan. Alan, welcome to the show, Alan.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Alan?
Hey, guys, I was just thinking while you guys were talking, like, in this new NFL where quarterbacks are going to be making $60, $70 million a year, is it really, like, smart to be able to pay a wide receiver $30, $40 million? Like, if you look what the Chiefs did, like, they're banking on Mahomes being that elite quarterback that he makes the receivers elite. Like, they got rid of Hill. They said, we're not going to pay top dollar for receivers when we have a high-quality quarterback. Like, is that the new NFL? Like, when you have a top-flight quarterback, you're expecting him with that dollar sign to be able to take these wide receivers to the next level. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Alan, we appreciate it, buddy. Good stuff. I would caution the NFL against using Kansas City and Pat Mahomes as, like, the model. I do think, like, specifically to Amari, if you don't think Amari's a number one receiver, that does complicate the conversation, just like it does he's going to be 30, just like it does that maybe he doesn't have an elite trait other than route running, like he's not elite speed or elite build. Like, there actually really are a lot of nuances to the Amari situation. We're to a point where, all right, everybody knows the nuances. Both sides, his side and the Browns, know the nuances, and it really comes down to, are you going to pay him or not? But, like, I've seen a fair amount of people say, and use the justification in the NFL, well, you know, look what the Chiefs got away with. The only reason they got away with it is because Pat Mahomes is subhuman.
He's pretty ridiculous, and that team pretty much can play as long as they got, like, a couple guys. Like, the Kelsey thing matters, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, but I mean, they're sort of plugging and playing basically every other skill position on that team.
Well, and here's the other thing. Do you know why the Chiefs won the Super Bowl this year? Because their defense was great. Between Karloftis and Chris Jones and the linebackers who are really good, they've built a really good defense. So, pointing to the one weakness that team had, which was wide receiver, and go, well, see, they did it without it, really doesn't give to how that happened. Nearing elite-level quarterbacks. Like, this is going to be a big litmus test for Buffalo. Buffalo wants Josh Allen to be in the same conversation with Pat Mahomes. Well, you traded Stephon Diggs. We're going to find out this year. Unless Keon Coleman just hits the ground running, like some wide receivers can and other rookies can't, unless he hits the ground running, you could get six games into the season and realize how badly he misses Stephon Diggs, whether there was a good relationship there or not. We get into a conversation, I don't even know how, but in honor of Prime Day, every time.
It's hilarious that you say that as I'm.
Are you on there? What are you looking at?
Just everything that's available.
Yeah.
Like during the break, I'm just like peeking at Amazon, like, oh, okay, 37% off. Okay, what can I get that?
So I was gifted by my grandmother, my Uncle John's old meat slicer, which is like this thing is a tank. Like it is, if you kind of goof around with it, you're going to lose a digit, that kind of serious. So it is a factory grade slicer from back when they actually made these things great. So I was thinking about getting a meat grinder, and Vanessa saw one on Prime Deal Days, and we had what I can only describe to you as an unintentionally hilarious conversation. I was like, yeah, I saw that. I think it's a little chintzy. I was like, I don't think it's going to be very strong. If I'm going to buy one, I want to buy something that matches the slicer. And she's like, yep, we're too old to go chintzy. And it was so funny because like 6 years ago, the conversation is we can't afford something nice. So you're going to have to buy the chintzy version. And now it's like, we're better than the chintzy version. It's like, are we really?
But that, sure about that.
But you and I got into the conversation about when you're talking with your significant other, whether you tell them the real price or whether you play some creative accounting.
Like, I'm looking at some Oakley sunglasses right now that are on sale for $129.
Mm-hmm.
I would say they're $100.
Yeah. No, you have to, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
I'm like, they were $192. They're on sale for $100.
The only time, I always remember
it's,
how much.
It's not really a lie. It's more of a fib.
Yeah. It's an error of omission.
Sure.
Not an error of omission, because you are just blatantly lying. It's an accounting error. It happens all the time. Like, corporations do this all the time. Like, oh, that was an accounting error. Turns out we're $5 million in the red, or sometimes they go the other way too. And we actually have more money than we thought. I pretty much know how much everything costs, because I'm very cost conscious even now. I don't think I ever tell Vanessa the exact price.
No?
Unless it's like a win. Like, dude, I got the smoker that I have that I'm about to give away and level up. I got like, it was out of season and I had like a $100 rebate mail-in that my buddy had. So I got like a $300 unit for like $70. I told her to the detail, like to the fine print, $71.39. I actually remember that number. It was exactly $71.39 after the $100 rebate. When it is anything else, when it is just like, I paid out the ass on that. I'm like, yeah, it's $400. Was it $479 or was it $429? It doesn't matter. It was $400.
It was in the fours.
And here's the thing. I don't even need to do it. It's just on the off chance I might get jammed up about it, because when I tell her how much it cost, because usually we're pretty good. Neither of us need permission to buy anything. But, you know, we're still looking to buy a house in the next year. We got all this stuff. We like to have a communication about when we spend bigger purchase things.
Okay.
But they're not the most on. And I know for a fact she does it to me, too. Hey, I wanted to buy that thing. It's about $100. I know what about $100 means. It means it's at least $139. Whatever, and here's the thing.
So it's like $100, anything under like $149.99?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, dude, $100 can be anything from literally $100 to $199.99. But as long as that price tag says under $200, it's $100. And I can't get mad at her because I do the same damn thing. Hey, that new smoker. Yeah, I think it's gonna be like $1,000. That's $1,400, guys. I'm yada yada yadaing like $400. So if she does the same thing on $400 purchases, I can't say a damn thing. I think it's mostly about. Here's the other thing. I also think it comes from the fact we still feel poor. And when I say that, I want to be very sensitive to this, because I know like that word actually, when you do come from, and Ness and I both, like her family at points had financial issues growing up. Mine certainly did. I mean, I don't think my parents ever got out of living paycheck to paycheck. Ness and I have only recently, in the last half decade, got out of it. Like, we earned our stripes as Poe people. So I might say, like, I am being a little cavalier with it, but like, we've had some money problems in our life. There's a part of us that just doesn't want to acknowledge. It's like the elephant in the room. We don't actually want to say how much we're going to spend on something because it kind of feels like indulgent. Like if I had to say out loud, yeah, I'm probably going to spend about $400 on a meat grinder. Dude, even saying it right there, Do I need to spend that much? Could I go cheaper? Do I even really need a meat grinder? No? Wait. Yes, yes, no. But.
Yes.
But I want one.
Yeah, then get one.
Well, yeah, I'm going to eventually.
Okay.
Probably not. Dude, here's the thing. Moving that slicer from my grandma's garage to the back of my truck. That thing is old school built. That thing is heavier than a cuss. Like, I'm not buying a meat grinder until I'm at the new house and I got to move into the one thing. That is why Prime Day coming when it is, right after we've moved, it's kind of making me give her a little bit of the side eye. It's not the money. It's I'm going to have to move that too. Didn't we just get rid of like 10% of our crap because we were like, we don't need all this stuff. Couldn't we also get rid of another 10% of our crap before we move again? Yeah. But at the same point, it is Prime Day. What are you going to do?
Well, you're gonna get on Amazon Prime and buy some Prime stuff. You know what bothers me about Prime Day?
What's that?
Is that, like, for example, I just looked and last football season I bought myself some of those Apple AirPod Maxes, like, to travel with. Like,
yeah.
The big ones that go over the ears. Because I obviously travel a ton and I like to have the noise canceling headphones on the plane. They were like $600, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like really expensive headphones. They're great. Mm-hmm. I love them. Well, they're on sale today. Prime Day, $374.
I'm going to have to go get me some
AirPod Maxes. Yeah. But I'm like, really? I mean, you can discount it that much?
Yes. Yes.
It makes me sick that I pay retail for other things in my life.
Well, how much do you think those things actually make?
I have no idea. I mean, I know it costs more than you probably think.
I bet you'd like $100.
Okay, that's probably more than I thought.
I bet you at $375, they're still making 300% profit.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying.
But in the other light, they're making 600% profit.
Yes. Yes.
So they're going to be just fine.
They're going to be just fine. Real quick, Mac, welcome to the show, Other Mac.
Hey, what's going on? I heard Dustin talking about, he was looking at Oakley's. I was, what are you looking at, the Sutros?
Yes, I have two pairs. I was looking to get another pair.
That's what I figured, because I was actually looking at them right as you said that. I'm like driving and looking at
them. Hilarious.
Mac, so I got to ask, do you round down?
So, no, here's my question. I got an even better question for you guys. If I'm sitting here, and my birthday was last Friday, and okay. I got Samsung gift cards.
Okay.
And so I'm about to use the Amazon gift cards. Let's say it's a $50 gift card and the item's $70. So I then say I only spent $20 on it?
100%. You know the answer.
Okay. No, that's what I'm telling my old lady. I'm like, yeah, I got some Oakley's for $20.
Okay.
That's what you say.
I actually think I can give you even more creative accounting.
Or just say I had a gift card.
Yeah,
I had a gift card.
I use that gift card on these.
Yeah, or just say, look at these Oakley's I got. I had a gift card.
Got them for the gift card.
It's my birthday gift.
I've done it a few times. My ex, she used to be like, where did these come from? I was like, oh, got them for like $22. Actually spent $250 on them, but.
A lie isn't a lie if everybody's lying to each other, Mac, right? Like, if I assume she's doing creative accounting and that I'm doing it back to her, if we both know what's happening, then it's just we're kind of living in a little delusional bubble together. And that's love.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.